My dearly beloved in Christ, 2 days ago, we had a funeral here, and it struck me in reading the epistle for the funeral mass, which, of course, we've all read many times, the unusual wording of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Now, St. Paul wrote 14 epistles. Two of them were written to the Christians in Thessalonica, which was the capital of Macedonia. He visited Thessalonica on the early part of his second great missionary journey and converted a number of people there. And then due to the unconverted Jews raising up persecution of St. Paul, he had to leave. And he went down to the area of Greece, Athens, and Corinth. But he heard that some of the converts in Thessalonica were disturbed at the fact that some of their fellow Christians had died and the second coming had not arrived yet. They thought that the second coming of our Lord was near at hand. And it seems that perhaps the apostles preached about the second coming so much that some of these early Christians had this misunderstanding, thinking it was going to be right around the corner. In fact, you know that when our Lord ascended into heaven and the apostles were gazing up until they could see him no longer, it says in the Bible that there were two men in white garments, obviously angels, standing by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you, will come in the same manner as you have seen him going up to heaven." So our Lord will come on the last day, on the clouds, to judge all mankind. So again, this idea had been preached to the early Christians, but some of them apparently had a misunderstanding, thinking it was going to happen almost right away. So this is what he said to the Thessalonians in his first epistle, and this is read at a funeral mass. "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant concerning those who are asleep, lest you should grieve as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so with him God will bring those also who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we who live, who survive until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with cry of command, with voice of archangel, and with trumpet of God, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we who live, who survive, shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So you wonder if St. Paul thought that he would be alive until the second coming, the way he words this. Indeed, none of the apostles knew when the second coming would be. In fact, our Lord, when he spoke about the second coming, he says, "No one knows, not even the angels of God, when that time will come." Now, the explanation for this passage I just read is found in an interesting book that one of the parishioners recommended to me, and I've been reading. It was written by a Jesuit priest in the late 1800s, and it is really a collection of sermons that he gave beginning in the 1860s on these topics: the end of the world, the second coming, the general judgment, etc., the apostasy, the Antichrist, these topics. And I was reading this and came across this passage, which explains what St. Paul said to the Thessalonians. He says, the author here, the book, by the way, is called The Return of the King, by Father Henry James Coleridge, an English priest. "I must begin by reminding you that, as I said just now, the Thessalonians may have mistaken some former words of the apostle to them, and this may have been the occasion of the necessity under which he found himself of correcting their error. It seems that they had been so impressed by what he had told them about the second coming of our Lord as to think of it as imminent, to have been so persuaded that it would happen very soon as to be surprised at the death of some of their own brethren before it came about, and to have been perplexed at the thought that these who had died prematurely, as they imagined, would have missed their share with the rest in the glories and triumphs of that second coming of our Lord. So that was the idea these Thessalonians had, which is why St. Paul wrote to them and say, those who have died in Christ won't miss out, basically. In fact, he says, they will rise first. Well, it so happened, as time went on, that because these Thessalonians were so anticipating the second coming, that some of them were neglecting their duties. They thought, well, why should I worry about this? Why should I worry about that? The end of the world is right around the corner. And so he wrote a second epistle to them. And this is what he says in the second epistle to the Thessalonians. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together unto him, not to be hastily shaken from your right mind, nor terrified, whether by spirit or by utterance or by letter attributed to us, as though the day of the Lord were near at hand. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and is exalted above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God and gives himself out as if he were God. We've heard that before. That is a passage often quoted in our days because of the end times, the great apostasy which we witnessed. When will the Antichrist come? It could still be many years from now. We don't know. But note, St. Paul wrote this because apparently some of these early Christians, being so preoccupied with this idea of the second coming, were neglecting their duties, were giving into sloth, and again, neglecting their personal responsibilities with their families and so forth. So it's a reminder to all of us that we should reflect upon these truths of our faith, the second coming. We say in the Apostles' Creed, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The end of the world, the general judgment. But the important thing, because likely we will not be alive to see that last day, could be again a long way from now, we don't know. But the important thing is living our faith one day at a time. Our divine Lord revealed this, spoke about the end of the world for the knowledge of the early Christians and of ourselves, the truths of faith. But there are some people that become so preoccupied with it as to try and determine the day and the hour. And again, our Lord said, no one knows, not even the angels, of when that will be. But it's an interesting thought, and I wanted to share this with you because of just reading this epistle again on Friday in our funeral that we've read so often before, that these early Christians, being so impressed by that idea of the second coming of Christ, thought that it was right around the corner and that they would all live to see it. Our lives, the future, all things are in God's hands. Let us, on our part, live our faith day by day, that we will enjoy the happiness of heaven with God, with the saints, one day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.